So, some of you may have heard me say this before, and I think last week we had some of the bulletin, but huge announcement is Father Carlos Martins is going to be here with his 150-plus relics, Relic of the True Cross, a verified piece of the Veil of the Blessed Mother. It's awesome. It's amazing. Tell all your friends and neighbors. They're not going to want to miss this. The way it's set up is that we'll be here. That's a Thursday night, and like we've been meeting on these Thursday nights, which have been amazing, by the way. We're going to just move the holy hour an hour earlier, so we'll start at 5 instead of 6. Do our holy hour with confessions, our prayers for our nation and for our families and all that. And then Father Carlos Martins, if you haven't heard his talk that he gives when he goes around with these relics, it's unbelievable. It's one of the best talks I've ever heard. And that will happen then in that 6 o'clock hour. And then after following that, we'll head up to the gym where he will have displayed on tables, I think 20 tables, probably about 8 relics each or something like that on each table, where we can go and venerate all the relics. And I really encourage you to take your religious articles and just touch them to each of the relics, because we teach that those are first-class relics. Now your religious article becomes a third-class relic of each of those. So very, very powerful. In fact, I could use a crew to help me to volunteer, because the other thing I'm planning to do is we have a men's conference in November, and we're calling it the St. Joseph Strong Men's Conference, and I actually named this challenge coin a St. Joseph Strong challenge coin. So I have hundreds of these over in the rectory, and I need them all touched to 160 relics or whatever it is. So please see me if you'd like to be a part of that team. But this is amazing. But imagine men carrying this around, having the power of those relics with them at all times. It's amazing. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Benedict. Of course, the readings supersede that. But today, July 11th is always the feast of Saint Benedict, and he's considered the father of monasticism. So he was raised in an affluent family, and he was sent to Rome to study. It would be the equivalent of affluent family sending their kid to an Ivy League school at the time. And he went to Rome, and he was just in shock, because it was just a den of iniquity. It was just rampant with immorality and every kind of sin all around him. So he was shocked so much that he went into solitude. I think it was for 2 or 3 years. And but from that experience, he was inspired to begin this monastic movement. And yes, it's people who devote themselves to daily prayer, but it also is meant to be like an epicenter for families to come to and to receive prayer, blessing, devotion, strong Catholic faith. Okay, so a place where people could unite and grow strong there. Instead of, you know, a den of iniquities that was going on in Rome at the time, at these universities, he wanted the other option. He wanted this other option because he felt, and he was right, that we need to come together. We need to support each other in our desire to be as close to God as we can, to live devout lives, and to do all we can then to bring that out to the world and to try our best to make that the new normal. While all around us, there's powers, forces that are trying to subvert that are trying to offer something that's completely counter to that, like what Benedict experienced when he went off to university in Rome at the time. And he said, we need to get strong in the supernatural power of God. We need to unite, and we need to do all that we can to build the kingdom of God. But get this normalized. Get this normalized in the culture. And so he would invite people then to come to these epicenters of supernatural strength, these monasteries and communities. Yes, some would end up living near them, but oftentimes it would be like, you know, you're traveling to a university or something like that, where they would receive the very best of their Catholic faith. Fast forward to today, that's what parishes are meant to be. That's what parishes are meant to be. That we find in each other strength, and we find in each other the desire, the will to want to become even stronger with each other in our Catholic faith, so that we can go out and spread that to become the normal way of the culture. In the tradition, now I'm going to tell you why I have this bucket here. I think I didn't count what's in here, but I think it's at least 1,000 Benedict medals. And in a moment, I'm going to bless those, and I'm going to let you watch as I do so. Exercise and bless those. These are actually called devil chasers, the Benedict medal. And on the Benedict medal here, I brought a Benedict crucifix, so you can see the Benedict medal a little bigger here. But right on the side there, it says VRS, Latin for Vade Retro Satana. Get the heck out of here, Satan, right? Get back, Satan. Be gone, Satan. There's a number of ways of translating that. But it's a devil chasing. It's saying, I don't want your poison. You drink your own poison, is what a lot of the rest of the Latin says on here. You know, you're trying to tell me that what you're selling is what I need to buy. What they were selling in the universities in Rome at the time with Benedict. And he, in essence, said, get back, Satan. I'm not buying that. Drink your own poison that you're trying to poison me with, trying to poison my family with, trying to poison my community with. Get back. Actually, when I bless homes, I like the tradition, there's a long tradition of bringing Benedict medals to the home. And you actually put them in the upper jamb of the door frame, and you kind of lay it where it's on top of there. And I recommend that, exercise a blessed medal. What are you doing? You're saying, get back, Satan. You can't gain entry to our home. There's also a tradition that I recommend as well, where, and I'll use this this is your property, okay? Your property line, imagine. And then you put a Benedict medal in the ground here, 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 and here. And then in the in-between spots, here, 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 and here. And what are you doing? You're building the wall. And you're saying, get back, Satan, that you're not invited in this place. You're not invited in this place. But brothers and sisters, we're living in a time where there are forces that are saying, come on, Satan. We want this new normal. We want your way. We don't want God's way. And so we need to do what Benedict called for us to do. We need to cultivate our faith. We need to unite with each other. We need to push that light out into the culture, into the world around us. We need to do the best that we possibly can to build the kingdom of God and make that be the new normal or the normal of our culture. And so we need each other. We need the power of sacramentals. We need the example of the saints, deceased and living among us. Those are the prophets. They're prophetic in the way that they live, in the way that they speak. Why are they prophetic? Why do we call them prophets? You know, that's what this gospel, now I'm getting to the gospel, where he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Now, this is an authority given to bishops and exorcists here, you know, to literally do exorcisms, but we have an amount of that authority when we do things like rely on the power of sacramentals and prayer and devotions, when we go to confession and get exorcised, okay, in essence. All the exorcists I've gotten to know, so many of them, will say the most powerful exorcism there is the sacrament of confession, where we exorcise all those impurities, those demons out of us, and say, get back, Satan, you're not welcome here. And then now the Holy Spirit can come into that place. We invite the Holy Spirit to come into that exercised or purified place, our soul. And so we're called to live ignited by that grace. Ignited by that grace that we find in the sacraments primarily, in our communion with each other, in the amazing teachings of the church, in the powerful sacramentals and devotions of our faith. We're called to be that ignited force, to push that out into the world. When I prepare my homilies every Sunday, one of my go-tos among many is Bishop Robert Barron. I've disagreed with him on some things. Some things I don't understand, and I hope to sit down and have a beer with him someday and ask him some questions. But by and large, he is very prophetic. He's inspiring in his take and in the way he expresses his take on the sacred scriptures. I was struck this particular weekend. Go to Word Among Us. You can just do those words in the search engine. You'll find them. And look at his, he does a audio homily, 15 minutes almost exactly, every Sunday. And that I listen to that as one of my sources. But I brought around some of his nuggets. And he says, too, that we are all called to be prophets. But we can't be prophets. You can't give away what you don't have. So again, you need to first cultivate your faith. So that's one of the first points that he makes. But he says this, he says, a prophet speaks the word of God publicly for the sake of others. Let the language of the faith be naturally on your lips. But he even goes on to say, naturally in things like y'all, I see them all the time, y'all wear a cross around your neck. So that when people encounter you, they can make a connection. They go, okay, I see your source because you're wearing it here. That's not to be braggadocio or haughty or anything. It's just to say, you can see who I am. I don't care. You know, some people wear the brown scapular. It's visible. Whatever, you know. But he says that too is a way of being prophetic. You're willing to speak openly. You're willing to show your Catholicism openly. That's not easy right now, right? I mean, we're living in the cancel culture, in this tyranny that is canceling us and censoring us. And so it's not easy. A lot of people now, your job's in jeopardy if you don't follow the dogma of this new tyranny. You know, you gotta call a guy a girl. When he's not a girl, I got to sit and watch a man walk into a little girl's bathroom. And if I dare say anything about these kinds of things, you lose your job. You lose your status in the community. I was talking about these just a couple days ago when the readings were, they will hate you because of my name. They will hate you. Are we willing to do that? See, that's what a prophet does. Speaks even though there might be those kinds of consequences. That's what he says, if you read the prophets in the Bible, you are going to find pretty strong and pretty blunt language. Then he starts naming them, like Amos was this weekend, and Ezekiel and others. You go right through all those prophets, and they're pretty blunt about their language, about the truth. He says, they often speak in a challenging way. Injustice bothers the prophets, and they often speak out strongly against it. I was rereading some of the history of St. Benedict. He didn't just hide away in his monastery. He made a difference in the culture. For instance, he came against one of the emperors of his day. And I left that note over the rectory this morning, so you'll have to look this up, the name of the guy. But anyways, he spoke against his immorality and even prophesied his death. So you can see, he spoke openly and bluntly. My friend Father Altman is being accused of doing it the wrong way because you're speaking openly and bluntly. Well, read the prophets. John the Baptist, one of them, you brood of vipers, right? That's the prophetic way is that, you know, and again, I always use the image of the parent with the child running out in busy traffic. No! You know, that's openly and bluntly. You don't do that. You don't make my people have to call a guy a girl when he's a guy. You don't march the president of the United States up to the communion when he is the number one most influential person promoting the killing of children. You don't do that. Oh, I might get canceled because I said that. Do you see what's going on? It says that a prophet even is calling out the highest powers in the land. These are the exact words of Bishop Barron. They speak hard truths about injustice to the underdog. You know, those are vulnerable. Those who are unprotected. But the babies in the mother's wombs used to be the safest place in the universe. Now it's a killing field. While the prophets remain hidden and silent. Remember, in today's gospel, it says, whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. Shake the dust off your feet then is the equivalent of wipe your hands of them. I gave my best. I told you the truth. And so you're going to either reject it or even censor me or cancel me. I did my best. I got to move on over here where they might listen. That's what he just said. That's what the prophets do. He says, these are the words of Bishop Barron again. Prepare to be unpopular. If getting the crowd to like you or ingratiating yourself to those who can advance your career, I'm so glad he said that. Because he endorsed Father James Martin's book, who's a little pen pal of our Pope right now. I'm so glad Bishop Barron just said, let me repeat it. Prepare to be unpopular if getting the crowd to like you or ingratiating yourself to those who can advance your career, he says you'll be a lousy prophet. Oh, we should be so glad when people repent. And I think that's what just happened. I really do. I think that's what just happened. I pray God that's what it did. But see the optics, the example. You're endorsing Father James Martin's book? What are you endorsing to all who look on to that? And his words could not be more repentive, ingratiating yourself to those who can advance your career. We're living in difficult times. We need to do the Benedict thing. You know, some people call this the Benedict option, right? That's what we're talking about here. And it can mean that people physically, we're seeing this. There's a place down in Tyler, Texas, I think, that they're literally moving to that place to do this thing. We don't need to not do that. We're doing what we need to do right here. But I throw this caution. Vade retro Satana, get out of here, Satan, because here's how Satan's trying to get in right now. The two ways he's manifested himself, most especially in this past year and a half, rage and division. And so we're seeing it with these persecuted priests. They're finding anything. Remember in the gospel, they were looking for anything to accuse them of. Right? The hierarchy of Jesus' time. They were looking for anything to accuse them of. That's what's going on. Don't get caught in that, doing that. Finding any way to accuse me, you, each other, to get divided, to get us raging at each other, because that's how we remain weak. We got to get strong. I always say, you know, people who are picky-uni, trying to find fault and all this stuff, stop it. I give people such latitude. You know, we're all, I'm such a clod. I make so many mistakes. Like I got someone that's sitting in the front pew that I won't point a finger to, but it's always helping me with my mistakes. You know, we do, but our intentions are good. We need to give that kind of latitude to each other. You know, once we start losing the intentions part, and start in an unrepentant way endorsing Father James Martin's book or other things, yikes, we got to come in a little harder. God bless Bishop Barron. Wow. It's like seeing the Packers repent. Just kidding. And I think that's happening. I think that's happening. I think the temptation to get in league with the devil and his minions is very enticing. And in this current climate, that's how you climb in the church. It's just a shame. But it's changing. I think it's changing. I do. And I think it's because of the great example of prophets like Father James Altman. Who speaks boldly and bluntly like the prophets always had. You brood of vipers. We need each other, my brothers and sisters. We need the power of God, my brothers and sisters. We need to be a force to be reckoned with, my brothers and sisters. And so I'm going to close by blessing these Benedict medals that I'm going to make available to y'all after Mass, okay? I don't have many here. I think I only have 1,000. I'm kidding. I think I have 1,000. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Put my cheater glasses on. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. In the name of God, the Father Almighty, who made heaven and earth, the sea that is all that is in them, I exercise these medals against the power and attacks of the evil one. May all who use these medals devoutly be blessed with health of soul and body in the name of the Father Almighty and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, in the love of the same Lord Jesus Christ, who will come on the last day to judge the living and the dead. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, the boundless source of all good things, we humbly ask that through the intercession of Saint Benedict, thou pourest out thy blessings upon these medals. May those who use these devoutly and earnestly strive to perform good works be blessed by thee with health of soul and body, the grace of a holy death, and remission of temporal punishment due to sin. May they also, with the help of thy merciful love, resist the temptations of the evil one and strive to exercise true charity and justice toward all, so that one day they may appear sinless and holy in thy sight. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless these with the Epiphany water. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. See me after Mass.